people around here trust the shepherds. Jamie, Adam, and the other Jamie. They always have. The sheep trust them too. Gather round, I'll throw another log on the fire. Turn it up just a touch, cause another episode of the podcast is starting now.
It is a brand new episode of the podcast starting right now. Jamie Bendel, Jamie Hernan, Adam Haig.
Thank you, sir.
We have a guest that we have been trying to get on the podcast for some time now, and he is a longtime friend and comedian, Mr. KP Anderson.
Hey, gentlemen.
Hey, buddy.
How are you? What's up, KP?
All right, so KP, very simple concept for this podcast. We ask rapid-fire questions, and then we explore the answers there, too. The very first question is a little bit of a warm-up question, but sets the tone for the round. Clockwise or counterclockwise?
Oh, clockwise.
Clockwise, starting with Adam.
All right, KP, what do you think is the best winning Monopoly strategy?
Drink heavily, steal from your neighbor's bank.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Make sure everybody else drinks heavily.
I think my tenants are drunk.
Yes.
All right, so a recall has been issued for the fragrance line Cocors, and the company that makes it has hired you to develop a replacement. Pitch us on the new fragrance.
Oh, they've recalled Cocors, and they've hired me. All right, we're going with a wider audience. We're gonna take down the price. We are changing it to Crack Horse. Nice. We're going everywhere. We're getting into every neighborhood with it. It should be around for at least a decade.
Moving to Crack Horse.
It's got fresh scents like parking lot.
That's right.
Leaky dumpster.
That's right. Yep. Out behind the convenience store.
Leaky dumpster. All right. This isn't a question that I ask often, but I feel like it's a good one to ask of you. Is it better to share how you really feel about somebody when they can hear it, see it, appreciate it, or wait and have a regret that it's too late?
That is a great question. I think that situationally dependent, and you know, it's interesting that my mind went towards the negative of how you feel about somebody, mostly because my wife has a brother. But then all of a sudden I thought about Bob Saget and I thought, no, I think that you let them know as soon as you possibly can. If positive or negative, it matters that be the takeaway from your time together.
Excellent.
Do you mind if I edit that is a great question part to go after my Cocors question, or do you prefer it still goes after
Lead
Jamie?
It with Jamie?
No, I don't mind that as long as I can put like some sort of a copyright on Crack Horse.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. We'll work on the trademark for you.
All right, cool.
What is the best TV series, and there's a caveat here, to watch with a child returning from college, to binge watch with a child from college? What would be the best TV series to binge watch with a child returned from college?
I would say it likely depends on the child and what they're into. The one that we did binge watch together that we loved was The Witcher on Netflix.
Okay.
But I have a math, science, fantasy book reading nerd of a daughter who she and I go way down that road, and my wife acts like she doesn't. And then she's the one who's saying that we got to watch The Witcher tonight.
Excellent. Witcher. I'm in.
All right. You have one song to perform for the Air Guitar World Championships later this year in Finland. Which song do you choose?
Jesse's Girl.
That's actually the right answer.
Yeah, he had that queued up ready to go.
Yeah, you knew that. He's probably followed the tour of the air guitar.
I mean, my audition tape is in. We'll just see how I do.
Here comes Finland.
I actually will say, until I watched whatever that movie was about Eurovision.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was just a goof. I didn't know that that was actually a thing.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
It's the first I'd learned of Eurovision.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, that is a great movie. It's like, it is so weird and it is so trippy for so long. But then you think about how they sort of inhabit the spirit of the weirdness of that whole competition. And you go, oh my God, they actually wrote a really well thought out, heartfelt movie about this that also happens to be absurdly, absurdly, absurdly funny.
I would say it actually punches for its weight against a movie like Spinal Tap.
Whoa.
I agree.
It's that well done.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also learned that trolls live in trees. I didn't know that, but from watching that movie.
Trolls are very, you do not want to mess with trolls. That whole Scandinavian troll, you know, Greenland, Iceland, Scandinavian troll thing. Do not mess around with those people.
I know we're getting a little off topic and I have my last question to ask, but I do follow cheap Scandinavian homes on Instagram.
Not homes? Is that what you said?
Homes.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And there are some beautiful, inexpensive properties.
Oh, my gosh.
Over there in the greater Scandinavian area.
Okay, hold on a second. Are we going to – why are we not living there? Like, let's – I mean, I get it. The winters are long and dark, but
– you don't have to even go there. The houses are so cheap. You could go summer only.
One of my thoughts was always like, do you get in on the whole socialized medicine and everything if you just arrived? Like, if I didn't pay into the system all these years, can I just come there late in the game and get all the benefits?
I believe so.
So I think that seems brilliant to me. Yeah. Like, maybe I should stop saving for retirement.
Yeah. Well, I think you got to get the citizenship and then, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I honestly think the way you posed it is like, do whatever you want in life. And then at the end, get in and get all the benefits. I think that's a little bit how a lot of religions work. At the very last minute, you can say, I'm super, super sorry. And they're like, okay, come on in.
You're forgiven.
You get all the benefits.
Yeah, it's good.
You know, we're not even going to give you a probationary period of eternity.
Don't you worry about it.
Right?
Yeah.
Although, Jamie, you're a theologian on the thing. There is probably that whole middle area that technically is like probation.
Not if you die in Scandinavia.
Oh, there's a different
direct
rule.
Path.
Yeah. It's Valhalla, I think, is how they do it there.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. My turn for a final question, a little bit also music related. Put yourself back in your cassette mixtape shoes. Mm-hmm. Who is the anchor artist on the romantic mixtape you created to express an emotion you had been unable to express yourself to a target?
I think at this point, at that point in time, I think that the anchor to that is going to be a later era REO Speedwagon. Like, it's not going to be like off of High Fidelity. It's not going to be a Keep On Loving You or something like that, because that was sort of written a little bit more dull. Like, at my cassette tape era, I was like 18 years old at the very tail end when I was really there and DJing at the World on Wheels roller skating rink in Cambridge, Minnesota. And so I think it was going to be, and I'm trying to think of course, I'm blanking on what song I'm trying to think of. I Can't Fight This Feeling Anymore by REO Speedwagon.
Boom.
It started out as friendship growing stronger. I only wish I had the strength to let it show.
Boom. Shakalaka.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In your face.
And that's how I felt about Kirby Puckett and the Minnesota Twins. No.
All right. That's going to do it for our first segment here on the podcast. Our guest, comedian KP Anderson. We will be back in just a moment. In game strategy, is there a class of competitions where get drunk and isn't a possible path to winning?
Is not a possible path to winning.
So he was saying Monopoly.
Yeah. Get drunk.
Get drunk and steal money.
Yep.
Shoots and ladders. Get drunk and skip spaces.
Get drunk and move your pieces. Yeah.
Hungry, hungry hippos. Get drunk and hand grab hippos.
Yeah. I don't think you can win at Twister.
Or Scrabble.
It just requires
drunk Scrabble.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Check this out. Listen to this.
Not a word.
Wait.
Where's Zeus?
So check this out. I found in the back of a closet in my childhood home a Ziploc bag.
Uh-oh.
Full of balderdash definitions.
Okay.
And we used to, in college, play balderdash. And the whole purpose of the answers was just to make the other people laugh.
That's pretty
so
funny.
There was never an attempt
to win,
to actually write a definition of the word. It was just who could write the funniest.
I love that
definition,
which is the way those games should be played,
which is how you are supposed to play that game.
Right. Oh, that's
the
great.
Only thing more fun than playing a game that way, writing answers that way, is if you're playing with someone who was there for serious balderdash and watching their reaction.
So upset with you guys for messing up the game.
Not how you play the game.
Yeah. No. It would be a fun game to play, even with us.
Yeah.
It'd be a fun
activity. Even with us.
We'll do it the third episode.
Yeah. It would be fun to play even with us.
Even with you.
Even with you guys.
Even with you. I'd play with you.
You horrible people.
It's that fun. It's that fun. I could even play it with you.
I shit you not. I know most games would suck.
Yeah, but this one.
But this one, I could tolerate even you guys.
It would be amazing.
There's a guy I want to play games with, and that's KP. And I don't think we'd even have to have balderdash to have fun with
KP. KP would be an excellent balderdash, drunk balderdash.
Let's go check it out.
Back with more of the podcast right now, Jamie and Adam, our guest, KP Anderson. Okay, so this segment, KP, we're going to talk a little bit more. This is kind of get to know KP, a little portion of the show. We were talking, you made mention of Minnesota in your last response there. Roll the Wheels, the classic roller rink. Great first place. Did you do All Skate, now Reverse?
Oh, yeah. I actually got dismissed from that job. I was a very popular DJ. There was my first public speaking job. And I got dismissed from that job on a Sunday afternoon church skate where I was in a bit of a tiff with the manager who also happened to be my girlfriend. And I put on AC/DC's Back in Black and I wouldn't turn it off.
Yeah, you did.
And that was back in the day when AC/DC was devil worship music.
Yeah, you did on Sunday skate.
Yeah, but all the church folk were out there having a good old time.
Yeah, they loved it.
Yeah, and she finally fired me, so I broke up with her.
How many therapy sessions do you think have involved an awakening or reference back to that moment when they thought they were going to a church session and they heard Back in Black?
At the skate rink?
Right. Like, I don't know. My life took a change. I'm trying to put, you know, it really kind of happened when I was skating. And then
they lost the Lord that day.
Yeah. I just felt my soul leave my body.
I think it was
done,
an awakening.
You had them skate, do the reverse skate. The lyrics played backwards.
When I think of Minnesota, though, I have a theory about people when I meet you at a party, and there's a good guy points and bad guy points. And I'm not saying you can't overwhelm these points, but when people from Minnesota, I usually give a plus one to. My theory on it is that it gets so cold in Minnesota that you have to spend time with other people in close proximity, and you just kind of have to figure out how to get along.
Yeah, I think well, there's some truth to that. Everybody every year spends 5 months in a COVID bubble.
Right.
All right, so KP, I think your story is kind of an interesting one. Came to LA as a comedian, touring, growing your career, doing whatever, and then you had an opportunity to kind of shift into the production side of things, and you have really kind of a remarkable resume of the comedians that you've worked with and some of the projects that you've been involved with. So how did that come about?
You know, I think what happened was, you know, when you and I first met, Jamie, I was so new to LA, and I had been in Minnesota. I had been a stand-up with a bullet. You know, like I went very quickly from my first open mic while I was a sophomore in college to getting hired to be the house MC at one of the big clubs up in Minnesota. And there was a chain of them. So I worked like 45 weeks a year, almost from the first time I did stand up. One of the things that was very good about coming up at that time in the early 90s was there were a lot of great, Minneapolis was a very big stand up scene, especially for touring comics. And so since I was the house MC at these comedy galleries in downtown Minneapolis and St. Paul, I was always working with these great big name comics who, you know, now, you know, are unfortunately either no longer with us or, you know, household name stars. And so I very early on in my career, I worked with, you know, Bill Hicks and Jerry Seinfeld and Norm Bill Maher and Rita Rudner and Paula Poundstone and Ellen and all these people and Roseanne, and they all seemed to take some manner of investment in my writing. Like they thought I was a good enough stand-up, and they always complimented that, but they kept thinking that there was something very unique about my writing. And the late Robert Schimmel was probably the one who was the most, like he and I spent a 2-week run in Gulfport, Mississippi together playing a casino in the middle of August where we literally fundamentally went insane. but Robert taught me how to really like uncover everything with a joke. It wasn't enough to just have one joke about one thing. It was like you're trying to build time and you're trying to build theory. And so you've got to roll over another stone and you don't get to tell that joke until you write a joke after it. And, you know, and he really taught me the discipline of writing in that regard. Mm-hmm. And so the writing part of it became sort of the first cornerstone of it that then led to, you know, I got my first job from Keenan Ivory Wayans on his late night talk show. Keenan literally traded me like a baseball player for a player to be named later to Bill Maher to work on Politically Incorrect. And that's where, you know, and that's where that part of my career really took off. My first joke on the air was the night the Monica Lewinsky scandal broke. And I did 9 solid months of kind of being like Bill's, you know, Monica's Jewish mother is upset the president wasn't a doctor, kind of those sort of jokes.
So if you don't mind, and it's okay if you say, hey, I'm not, that's not really something to cover. Talk to me about a project as unique as Norm's talk show.
Yeah, no, I don't mind at all. I do think after, you know, after Bob's super untimely passing the other day, he and Norm were such good friends. And I knew both of them probably better in the context of each other at a certain point than I knew each of them individually. So the biggest thing, but just this is kind of an aside to all of it, just something I was thinking about today. But I just keep thinking that, like, somewhere Norm right now is with Bob looking at Facebook going, "What'd you take a fucking picture with everybody?" the experience with Norm's talk show, so we were doing the Joel McHale show at Netflix at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I got called by Netflix. We had literally just closed the deal with Joel with Netflix for the Joel show. And it was myself, Joel, and Paul Feig who took that in and sold it. But it was being run through my company, Pygmy Wolf Productions. And so Netflix called and said, "Hey, you know, we have this project with Norm that it needs a production company. We need somebody to oversee it." And we ran a whole bunch of names by Norm. And he said, you know, when your came up, he said, "Oh, I always liked that KP Anderson guy." So we thought that maybe you go meet with Norm, and if you guys hit it off and it works, then you come in and do that in conjunction with what you're doing with Joel. And we did it on the same sound stage, and we shared a lot of facilities and stuff, which saved Netflix some money along the way. The one thing that I will never attempt to take credit for is the comedic quality of that show uniquely, because while I worked on the bookings with him, and while I certainly suggested stuff and sometimes a joke made it in or a question made it in or anything else, Norm was and he had a great team of writers around him that were the guys who he worked with on Weekend Update and Adam Egan, who was on it. And there was a tighter group of people who were the nucleus of that show. Mm-hmm. And I was doing Joel's show and running that. And obviously Joel and I had our relationship. So it really was sort of like I was invited along to help grease the runway to get the show in. You know, if there's any silver lining after his passing is it wasn't received very well when it first came out, but after his passing, a lot of people have watched the show and now it gets a lot of acclaim. I'm grateful now that it's being seen for how Norm's brain, you know, maneuvered through that show. And one thing that he also, now that people really like the show, or now that at least his fans know it's there and are finding it, the other thing that he gets a ton of credit for, and Lori Jo Hoekstra, who was the actual showrunner on the show, they get a ton of credit. They sat through post on that show, and you know, we were shooting sometimes 2-hour interviews, and they turned it into something that reflected his outlook and reflected him against all the hard parts of making a show.
All right, so we're going to be back with more of the podcast and our guest comedian KP Anderson right after this.
So we're heading down the path to changing the name of the podcast.
What?
Hold on. That's alleged.
Allegedly.
Allegedly is going to likely turn into actually.
Okay.
And so we just want to make sure that the sheep follow us. They don't get lost. The name will change, but the show will remain the same. Same people. Same great guests.
Are you manifesting a name change?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. How does allegedly turn into actually?
Oh, just watch. It's coming.
I mean, life is full of change.
Always changing.
Change is okay.
I knew that we were due for a name change as soon as we started hiring show consultants.
Show consultants.
Right?
We come in and listen to a couple episodes and then tell you what to do and create infighting among the hosts.
Change your name.
Change your name. Change your logo. And get rid of Jamie. I don't care which one.
I thought it was pretty ballsy to say in the report, more Adams. Less yeah. Jamie's.
Especially since you're outnumbering me 2-1.
I thought I was like, what are you getting at?
Yeah, it's weird because my mom was the consultant, so that was awkward. That's why she threw that in there.
I'm open to feedback.
We are always
open. But I ultimately trust the listeners.
I also think that our listeners are mature enough and they like us enough to follow us into this new, exciting arena that we're about to get into.
Same show, same great questions.
Oh, it's
going
to be great.
Keep an eye out. New name coming soon.
Possible name.
Allegedly.
Actually.
All right, back with our next of the lightning rounds here on the podcast, Jamie, and Adam, our guest, KP Anderson. All right, KP, we give the question, the option rather, to you back clockwise or counterclockwise.
Still clockwise. I move forward.
Good job.
Still clockwise, starting with Adam.
Well, my question is actually going to take you back. So unfortunately, tomorrow you passed away. And the good news is, though, you get to come back. But you get to come back as a Viking, a Hun, or a conquistador. Which one do you come back as?
Just on the outside chance that someone gets it wrong and I come back as a Vikings place kicker, that's out.
So good.
Yeah. Conquistador.
Okay.
I want that mustache. I want that jawline.
Right.
I want that hair.
Right.
I want some city of gold
on your quest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, which comedian would you want with you on a secret mission to infiltrate and overthrow a foreign government?
Doug Stanhope, mostly because I just want Doug Stanhope on any kind of mission that I could go on. But I also think that if you're truly going to overthrow, you want the end result to be a party, and you want the people in your corner to be be open-minded about things.
Okay.
KP, you have one opportunity to take your child to a pivotal moment in sports. What is the moment?
I think the moment is a 1987 World Series Game 7 against St. Louis Cardinals, last out of Game 7, so that my kid can A, see just how much emotion I'm capable of in a positive sense. and also just what it feels like for an entire community to come together around a positive moment in a way that captures your imagination.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We're going to stay on that theme of Minnesota good people. So one thing I've noticed about people who do stay in the cold, they play cards a lot. People, mm-hmm. they like to play cards. What in your mind is the best card game?
In my current mind frame, Texas Hold'em is the best card game because okay. I love to gamble. I love to play at that level in that game chance. I think the Minnesota side of me would still go to cribbage.
Okay. Because
that to me, father son bonding, mother son bonding, brother brother bonding. That's our cabin in northern Minnesota, and that's every time it rained, that's what we did.
Oh, that's awesome.
So the president has issued an executive order today naming you as the new head of the U.S. military. And the president was asked why. Why you? And the president said that it was your idea for a new branch of the military that sold him on appointing you. What is that new branch of the military that you're proposing?
Wow. Weed force.
Weed force.
Just like, hey, let's all sit down. Let's put on a movie. We'll do some Mel Brooks. If at the end of this you still want to kill me, we'll fight.
Right. Exactly.
All right. So then last question is, if you were going to construct it, and I don't mean subject matter necessarily, I'm not asking you to tell it, but you have a daughter who's in mechanical engineering. So mm-hmm. if you were to take the mechanical engineering of the perfect joke, how is it built?
Ooh, that is a good question. It was a really good question. And I don't know that there is an exact answer to that. I do know that there's a sort of for me, a perfect reaction. Like I still love, against popular mores, I still love a great, you know, like push it and see if it wobbles, you know, socially challenging joke. I'm back up doing stand-up myself some nowadays, and I don't see myself as the angry young man that I was, you know, years ago when I was doing it, you know, 45, 50 weeks a year. And I search for ways to construct a joke that has shock value, that also has like some sense of logic that you can't argue, but also ultimately like triggers the laugh in a way that you just can't deny it. I think one of the best jokes that I ever wrote, and I don't think it's a perfect joke, but one of the best jokes that I ever wrote is about having a 105-year-old grandmother. My grandmother passed at 105 years old. And at the end of a long run of a joke, the blow to it is, you know, the hardest part about having a relative that old is the holidays, because it's always, what do you get someone who's 103, 104, 105 years old for Christmas? You get them something you really want, but could live without for 5, maybe 6 months.
That's phenomenal.
Like, look at that, Graham, flat screen TV. That's nice, right? Yeah, that's Samsung. That's not that Vizio shit, Grandma. You keep that in the box. I love the architecture of that joke because it poses a quandary that no one was thinking about walking into the room.
Right.
Right.
And you're talking about something that every time you talk about someone living to be that old, it begets applause and it gets this sort of like great, you know, this great like flowing of like, wow, isn't that something?
Yeah.
And I think it's the comic's job to go, not really.
Yeah, right. Like, to kind of rip it from you.
All
yeah.
right. So, yeah. Okay. So then let me take a shot at what you've described. Okay. Uh-huh. The, okay. The elements of a perfect joke are relatability, logic, shock, and surprise.
With a truism.
And yeah. funny that's unique to the teller of the joke.
Yes.
I think that that's an instrumental part of it as well.
Right. 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 All right. So that brings us to a close of our conversation here with, I keep saying comedian, but really, and I don't want to say you're not a comedian, but
I think, you know, if one thing had to sit on the headstone, that's the one that matters the most to me still.
Good.
And I think that, if I can be just verbose for one more second, the thing that might have gotten lost along the way with me, because, you know, I moved into this other thing before YouTube. I never did the HBO special. I never did the other stuff. But I think, like, if they say a lot about me, you know, nice guy, good dad, whatever else, funny motherfucker is the one that I'd love to be spoken early and often.
Okay. Another Minnesotan that I want to be best friends with. That's it.
I want to get my ass back to Atlanta. I want to come back down.
Good. Yeah. We definitely will share a pint when you come.
All right. So easy to find online, KP Anderson.
Any projects to plug?
Yeah. If people can look at one thing from me, medium.com, go see the stuff that I'm writing there. That's my project of passion right now.
Awesome.
And it's going to lead to, I've got a show coming up for History Channel that I'm not allowed to talk about yet. That's going to premiere in March or April, sometime around then. And on medium.com, there's stuff that I'm writing now and I'm going to be releasing that's leading to sort of a more retrospective of my life and career and hopefully being part of an educational thing for people who want to get into this business. So, so check that out there and that'll lead you down a trail to some other stuff that's on its way.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Awesome.
All right. On behalf of Jamie and Adam and our guest, KP Anderson.
Thank you, gentlemen. So great to see you.
Thanks, KP. It was a lot of fun.
KP.
All right, take care.
See you, buddy. All right, so that's going to wrap it up for this episode of The Bodcast. For Jamie, and Adam, our guests this episode, KP Anderson, don't wander too far. There will be brand new content before you know it. Taka taka.
Fire's getting low. This episode of The Bodcast is over. Time to go home now, sheep. Go on, back to where you came from. We'll call you back when it's time for another Bodcast. Taka taka.